super honored, brother. Thank you so much for taking this time coming down here today.
Yeah.
Super grateful. I love the synergistics of this room. And you know, one of the things that always stands out to me is your journey to where you are today, and the way it was early for you early on in Ohio. I have the privilege of knowing your story and the impact that your mom has had. May she rest in peace. And the lessons that your dad taught you and your siblings and some of the things you opened up with me. Can you talk a little bit about early on, which led to this person today? I think it will be important for the folks in here.
Sure. If we're going to talk about my mom, I get to start off crying early.
That's okay.
So that's fine.
Let's just get it done.
I'm a 58-year-old mama boy who still texts his mom every day. I kept her phone. It's been on my plan. I text her every day. What I told her every day for over 18 years before she passed, which is, I am happy, I am healthy, I love you and appreciate you forever. Because I knew when I, thanks to my mom and my wife, shifted my paradigm in life and brought faith back into my life, I knew that that's all my mom really cared about.
Yeah.
She didn't care about the houses and the cars and the financial security that I brought her, which was all I wanted when I was a little boy. I was 5 years old, my dad left, and my mom is an academic, second grade teacher. I will tell you, I tell people all the time, I never listened to my mom. From the day I was born, I think, till the day she died, never listened to her, but I watched her, I studied her, and she had more impact and influence. She worked two jobs, she was a second grade teacher, packed our dinner in a paper bag at night, drove us around in a Country Squire station wagon in Akron, Ohio, filling up turnstiles with greeting cards at convenience stores just so we could eat.
Amazing.
We had people in my family that were wealthy, that were willing to help, but she wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
She was a pure academic. She felt doctor, lawyer, or failure. I probably heard that 1,000 times. Believed the fetus wasn't fully developed till after graduate school. All my siblings went to the Ivy Leagues, but not only went to Harvard, Penn, and Columbia, but they graduated summa cum laude.
Okay.
So I'm talking about a superior academic.
Yep.
I just wanted to be rich.
Yeah. Yeah. And to that point, you made 7 figures 9 months out of law school.
Made my first $1 million in 9 months out of law school.
Yeah.
Bought my mom a house and a car, which was an awesome experience, but it was extremely damaging because I believed at that time that money would buy me happiness and love for the rest of my life. I thought that's what it bought me.
I can relate to that.
And I kept making more money and expecting everybody to love me and for me to be happy. And I kept trying to fill that God-sized hole with everything but God.
And that hole was developed in the first 5 years?
Yeah.
Is that what
sure.
it was?
Yeah, or yeah. previous lives, whatever you believe. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the trauma of that was real. But let me ask you this, and feel free to touch on that. But the trappings of success from age 25 to what happened in 08, I think that was the year, correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah.
So there was a gap there. There was a time of I would assume, an increased emotional liability of behavior.
Yeah, and it got worse and worse.
Yeah.
So I call it 3 different periods. I grew up early in life in the not enough world that a lot of poor kids had.
Yep.
So everything happened to me.
Yes.
Right? I was a victim. If I had that guy's dad, if I had that guy's car, if I had that guy's money, they think they're better than me.
Yep.
I love that when I coach people. They think. I'm like, you don't even know what you think. How do you know what they think, let alone what they think about what you think? This is ridiculous. Well, I was always, they think this about me, and I'm going to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
Yep. And I don't even know who them
Who's
were.
They?
And
yeah.
who, what are they thinking?
Yeah.
But this world of not enough, I couldn't get rid of. I was born, that's part of the whole. It's a scarce hole of not enough of anything, so everything happens to me. When I started making money, I started to believe that the world was happening for me. And you'll hear a lot of optimists and a lot of thought leaders talk about everything happens for you. I actually think that is wrong. I think that's still a scarce thing. When things happen for you, everything's a trade or a negotiation. Quid pro quo takes effect. It still means there's not enough of everything. It's just you're getting more of it.
Yep.
You're in favor
yep.
compared to someone else. And if you receive, that means somebody else doesn't. And so when I lost everything, the major transition was I now live and have for 18 years since 2008
yep.
in a world of more than enough of everything.
More than, and that's the language you actually use,
more than
right?
enough of like, it comes through me for the sake of others. So instead of saying throughout that period from 1993 when I made my first million
yep.
to 2008 when I was worth over 100 million, I'll be happy when.
Yeah. So, folks, he was worth 100 million in 2008 and then seemingly overnight lost it, but it was something I was developing behind the scenes based on. You know,
everything happens very slowly, then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Your good behaviors happen very slowly, and all of a sudden, and your bad behaviors
yeah.
happen very slowly, then all of a sudden. It's an exponential. If you study the rule of 72 in your world,
yep.
compounding of interest or compounding of money, the same thing as emotions, the same thing with behaviors. Mm-hmm. They compound. And it creates a bunch of resistance for most people because it takes so long to get to where you want to be or better, but it's growing exponentially.
Yeah.
And so, you know, overnight success, for example,
is not
I work with thousands of companies. On average, it takes 17 and a half years for success.
Mm.
And I'll tell you how it works. First 10 years, you're 25% of the way there. 99% of the people have quit. Because it took 10 years just to get to 25% of where you want to be in business. Then it takes 5 more years to get to 50%. And 99% of the 1% that's left, they quit before they get to 50% of the way there.
But before year 15, right?
Before year 15.
Yeah.
And here's the funny thing. In the next 2.5 years...
Going 3 feet from gold.
Exactly. 100% yeah. of the way there. This is true about alcohol. This is true about cocaine. This is true about kindness and generosity. It's true about all behaviors. Your health. Like, people in business, they literally live their life in business like this. I'm going to start a business is the same as saying, I'm going to diet. And then night one, standing on the scale and going, why didn't I lose weight?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
literally, I see it in business all the time. What do you mean? You're supposed to be one of the world's best coaches. Why haven't I doubled my revenue this week?
Yeah.
Well,
by the way, David never promises that though.
Never.
Just so we're clear. I could tell you for 3 years, he's never guaranteed me success at all. But what he's guaranteed me is he shows up to every coaching call and he lays forth a path for me to follow in order to achieve that success, which by the way, I probably follow it 40% of the time, maybe 50. I haven't even gotten to 75 or 100.
That's why I only work month to month, and I guarantee what I do.
Yes.
Guarantee what I do, whether it's free, it's group, it's one-on-one.
Sure. Or
I'm a business advisor to some of the biggest companies in the world,
absolutely.
Including Major League Baseball, Gulf Oil, and they all have the same deal, the exact same deal. I will work with you for a month-to-month situation, and any month you tell me I suck, here's your money back. And move on.
So he's not
or if I tell you,
commitment.
You suck.
Yeah.
And let me explain this too.
Yeah.
And I spend this outside, but I'm going to repeat it because I think it's really important.
For these folks too. Yeah.
Coaches, mentors, and teachers. There's a difference. A mentor is somebody that sits in the situation that you're in, and they can give you directions on how they got to where they are. A teacher may not be there, but they have the capability of teaching you the steps from other mentors of how to get to where Bezos is or whoever, and they can do that. They're teachers. And a coach is someone who brings the best out of you.
Mm.
And so there's three ways to get to where you want to be or better faster is through mentorship, teaching, and coaching. But regardless of who you have in your life, teachers, mentors, or coaches, what Rob's talking about is so interesting when he says, I do about 40%. Sometimes I show up, sometimes I don't.
No, you always show up.
Yeah, sometimes you show up, sometimes you don't. But what I try to teach people is, regardless of what a great mentor, teacher, or coach I am or anybody else in your life, for you to get from point A to point B, and point B being where you think you want to be or better, it's a private lesson between you and God.
Yes.
And so I'm here to help speed up the process for you,
yeah.
limit or mitigate risk for you or damage for you, bring peace or ease to you while you're in that. But in the end, if you don't understand getting from A to B is between you and God, it's a private lesson between you two, we're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there is a reconciliation of understanding how mentorship, teaching, and coaching can help you. But in the end, as you know from addiction, all those programs work.
Yes. You work it if you've got
to
put
the
time.
If you're willing to give a private lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So can you speak to the folks here on, you know, when it all hit the fan in 2008, but how that was the greatest gift? And, you know, we're not going to, you know, we don't need to get any money and worth and all this other stuff, but by orders of magnitude, not only financially, I'm sure, but emotionally and spiritually, you're at levels that you could have never dreamed of at your wealthiest moment before 2008.
Yeah, so 2008 comes. Things happened very fast. I thought I had a $40 million line of credit. The banks were going under. I walked in to pull down $5 million because my ego's in my way and I'm in lawsuits. But I don't give a shit because I have really good investments, golf course, ski mountain, 30 homes in San Diego alone. I'm gold. I'm Midas. I go into the bank. Boom. They tell me, oh, sorry, no one told you. Well, first of all, my guy was gone after 17 years. But nobody told you. We capped all lines at $1 million. Shit happens really fast when you think you have $40 million and you only have one. And nobody's giving credit anymore where they used to just give it away.
And every day, Wall Street's going downhill.
So I end up losing everything faster than I'd like. Not because I had bad investments, because I didn't ask for help. And I forgot the lesson my mom taught me. If you want to write down a great quote, my mom told me, you're either humble or you're about to be. So when I lost everything, remember, the only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy my mom a house and a car and create financial security for my family. When I lost everything, I had to go tell my mom. The only thing I was ever afraid of was losing everything, and I lost everything.
Talk about manifesting fear. There it is.
Worry is a duplicative negative. It not only is interfering with your potential every time you worry, but it's wishing for what you don't want. It's wishing for what you don't want. So the more times you tell me, oh, I hope that question isn't on the test. I hope that question isn't on the test. You're guaranteeing it's the first question on the test. And I know everybody's experienced that again and again. And I teach the interfering responses to the reaction to fear. But imagine this. My whole life was geared to buy my mom this house and a car. I now have lost everything and I have to go tell her. But I realized that I never took my name off the title of my mom's home. So I had to tell her she's moving because I lost her home in my bankruptcy. So I go up to my mom's door and I'm like a four-year-old who can't talk because they're hysterically crying. And I remember breathing like a four-year-old. My mom's like, oh my God, what's the matter? Are you okay? Is Julie okay? Are the kids okay? What's the matter? Talk to me. Like a four-year-old, breathe. What's the matter, Dave? I'm like, Mom, I lost everything. But I lost your home. You need to move. Oh, thank God. Do you need some money? Mom, I don't think you heard me. I lost everything. I'm not fucking joking. I lost your home. You need to move. Oh, well, what can I do to help you? Mom, you can't help me. I just want to know why. My mom's very religious. Why is God punishing me? And she smirked at me and just found out she's moving and I lost everything and smirks at me and said, what are you talking about? I'm like, why is God punishing me? Why is this happening to me? What did I do? Oh, sweetheart, God, he doesn't punish anyone. He loves you. He's protecting you. He's promoting you. He's perfecting you. You got to figure out how. You need to go back. Take stock in who you were and what you want to become. You got to figure this out, son. Well, I don't believe in God, Mom. Smirked at me again and said, oh, you believe in God, David. You just believe in the wrong God.
God of money.
And so that was my God moment. And I went back and I took stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And I added faith into my repertoire of shortening the distance of resistance. Because wisdom alone means nothing. Hard work alone means nothing.
During that timeline, was that Jerry? When did Jerry? I don't remember when it came out.
Yes, I was actually running.
I don't even remember.
The sports agency in 2008.
You were?
Yeah, in the early 2000s, though, is when I started with Lee.
Okay.
And they had already started with the movie. Lee Steinberg's truly who the movie's about. I was the CEO of the firm. And yeah, I got to deal with Cameron Crowe and Troy and Warren. Warren Moon's my business partner. But, you know, the lessons of Jerry Maguire in my life are pretty interesting, because people still today will come up to me and say, oh, Jerry Maguire is my favorite sports movie of all time. And I'll look at him and say, it's not a sports movie, right? It's a love story. It's probably one of the greatest love stories ever written, and an unbelievable script. That's why everybody knows so many lines, like "You had me at hello," or "Show me the money," or "I'm great in the living room," or whatever it is. But it's a love story that is a backdrop of sports. Well, my whole career in sports was, I got hired to run the most notable sports agency, not because I was a great sports agent, not because I was a great lawyer even, but because I had an extraordinary background in venture capital and technology, and Lee saw the future of sports in venture capital and technology, not in agentry. Okay. So my whole life has had a backdrop of sports, and I have too many people that they confuse the love of what they want to do with a backdrop. So they don't develop the skills, because they'll say, I want to work in sports. Well, I want to work in water.
Yeah.
Like, no, you have to develop skills, knowledge, and desire aligned with what's doing well, what's stable, and you think is doing well within the backdrop of sports. Sports is not a job. Right? Great artists work in sports. Great analysts work in sports. Facility managers, some of the best facility managers in the world work in sports. Engineers, consultants of all kinds, they work at the backdrop of sports. They never would have got a job in sports because they love sports. They got it because they have great capabilities.
Skill set, yeah. So that takes me to my next question, because now, you know, your wife gives you the ultimatum. You begin the process of turning your life around. Is this when you started to learn about frequency and spirituality? Because I'd love to know.
Yeah.
Because I've never asked you that. Now I'm just thinking about the timeline.
Yeah, no, it's a good question.
Yeah.
So my wife actually started me. You know, everything doesn't happen together.
Yep.
Right. So my journey and my transformation started 2 years before I lost everything, when my wife was the final flag.
That I didn't know.
Yes.
So she threw it down in 06, but 08 is when.
Yeah.
And now, so I get it.
Maybe I should give this as a little background. One of the best parts of my journey to understand how things happen, red flags. Right? There's always red flags.
Yep.
Things just don't happen overnight. So when I turned 30 years old, my dad gave me a birthday present after being absent from my life for 20 years.
And you were already successful.
And I was very successful at 30. I was actually with Samsung at the time, venture capital and technology. I ran their entire data phone division. They were called Convergence Devices. It was a Windows device, so I worked with Microsoft, raised hundreds of millions of dollars. It was a great position to be 30 years old in 1998.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, and so what happened is, my dad gives me this birthday present, a big box. My wife, newly married, I start crying. She's like, what's the matter? I'm like, my dad hasn't given me a birthday present in 20 years. I've dreamed of reconciling with my father. I open it up. I put it on. It's a beautiful sport coat. I'm so excited. Tears. I open it up, and it says nothing. In fact, he tore all the pockets out of my jacket. Mm. I went from complete hope and joy that I was going to reconcile with my father to hate. I called my dad immediately. I'm like, Dad, oh, you got my present, son? I'm like, yeah. What are you trying to prove?
Yeah.
He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, why would you give me a jacket I can't wear? He said, oh, it's not for wearing. I'm like, what the fuck? He goes, it's hanging in the closet. It's to remind you that money can't buy you love or happiness. You're just like me, son. I'm worried about you. My response, I'm nothing like you. You're a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, overseller, back-end seller. Fuck you. Didn't talk to him again. 6 years later, I'm running Lee Steinberg. I'm 36 years old, running the most notable sports agency in the world. They came out the movie Jerry Maguire.
This is in 2006?
2006.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I've been running it. Worth over $100 million.
Killing it by all means.
Killing it by all means. Yeah. It's not just being rich. Remember, it's having access to what billionaires couldn't afford to do.
Yes.
Sidelines, Academy Awards, everything. Sweets. I got to do anything. Well, anyway, I decide I want to take my best friend, Rob, to the Masters with Warren Moon, Wayne Gretzky, and Joe Montana. NetJets were paying the guys to fly to the Masters.
That sounds fun.
So I asked my best... This is how long I knew this guy. Rob, I knew since the fourth grade.
I know the
story. At sixth grade camp, Rob asked my wife, who I went to elementary school with, to go steady with me because I was too afraid to ask her myself. And so he
asked... Who had people hooked him up in grammar school?
Yeah. So he asked her, and she said, no, tell him to ask me himself. He embarrasses me. So when I get home, I threw an egg at my wife and hit her in the back of the head. So literally, my wife hated me and stayed away from me for a long time.
That was the way you tried to hook up with her? You threw an egg at her?
Yeah. Yeah. So Rob's been my best friend through the thick and thin of it. And I went to Rob and invited him. He loved golf. And I couldn't believe it, but he said, I'm not going. I'm like, what do you mean you're not going? He goes, Dave, I don't want to hang out with you. I don't like who you hang out with and
so
what you're doing.
So you already changed. Got it.
And I was like, dude, I'm not doing what those other guys are doing. And then he said, David, you can lie to me, but if you keep lying to yourself, you're going to end up dead, and I can't be your friend. I don't want to be around it.
And you were partying, right?
Hard.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I told Rob, fuck you. How dare you talk to me that way? You're my best friend. 2 weeks later, my life would change forever. I asked my wife if I could go to the Grammy Awards with one of my clients, a guy named Little John. He was a rapper.
Little John.
And so...
He went with Little John.
Yeah.
So John... Yes, if you go with Little John.
Yeah, so
I don't think he was home at 11 p.m. that night.
Yeah, no. So I lied to my wife because he said, you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention to work, to your family, and you're partying so hard, I don't think you should go. So I told her, okay, I won't go. So I lied to her, like every alcoholic, drug addict, like she doesn't know. Don't worry, I won't go. Changed my clothes in the car and went to Beverly Hills. Went to the Grammy Awards, came home wasted at 5:30 in the morning, and I could see her silhouette in our courtyard, French doors. Mm. My buddy who drove me is like, dude, you want to sleep over? I'm like, nah, fuck, what's she going to say to me?
Yeah.
Well, she had something to say. When I walked in, she said, I'm not happy, and I'm leaving you, and you better take stock in who you are and what you want to become. Mm. I turned around and I said, who do you think did all this? How dare you talk to me that way? She's all, talk to you that way. I'm like, who do you think did this? You're so ungrateful. She said, if your mom knew who you really were, imagine that, motherfucker. I'm not staying. Neither are your girls. We're not going to hang out to watch you die. Told her to fuck off, went to bed. I woke up so full of hate, thinking I hate my mom because my mom was constantly telling me I was lost. I definitely hated my dad, hated my best friend, and now I hated my wife.
Blaming everybody,
yeah. Living in shame and justification. I was going to take all their money. I was going to show them who I was. And then I looked in my closet, and for the first time in 6 years, there was that stupid jacket.
Yep.
Saw the jacket immediately, still to this day. I just broke down and it hit me. I'm a liar. Mm. I'm a cheater. I'm a back-end seller, overseller, and I hate myself. I don't hate my mom, my dad, my best friend, or certainly my wife. And thank God that my wife stayed with me. Never told me that I couldn't make any mistakes. All she told me was, I know you. And if you put your mind to this and you keep trying, I will stay with you. The day you quit, I'm okay with you making a mistake, having a slip. I know how long this takes, but if you're not trying, I'm gone. Mm. Mm. And so that warm up to the day I lost everything, the biggest fear for my wife when I lost everything was how goddamn confident I was.
Okay, because you already had 2 years of momentum, though.
Yeah,
right?
so this leads to the
so
question.
The question I asked him was, when did he learn
frequency,
quantum mechanics, frequency, energy, and all the stuff that when he talks, I get real excited about.
Yeah,
because it just gets me in my own nervous system. But yeah, please.
Yeah, so in that 2 year spread before I lost everything,
yep,
I was flying to India, working with Robert Shapiro at LegalZoom. I was creating a compliance tool for entities.
Technology.
Call complete again. Record meetings. And so I'm going to India. I had 150 developers in India that I was funding. I sit down in first class next to this little lady, and she looks at me, and she says, "Are you okay?"
Mm.
Now, I'm still on my journey of healing, right? I'm not enlightened.
Early. Yeah.
Right? I'm just...
It's early.
It's early.
Yeah.
So in my head, I literally said to myself, "Do you know who the fuck I am? Am I okay?"
But I do you know who I am?
Exactly. So I turned to her and I'm like, "Of course I'm okay."
And how about you? Like, are you okay?
Want to see a picture of my Ferrari? Which I literally carried a picture of my Ferrari around with me. That's
so the ego was still there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got so, it. Like, that's in my mind, right? I'm like, "Am I okay? Look at you. Of course I'm okay." This is what I thought. Anyway, I said, "Yes, I'm okay. Why do you ask?" And then she said, "Well, you're so full of light, and you're blocking it." And I roll my eyes. I'm like, "Oh." She goes, "Do you meditate?" And I literally said this, something like this: "Meditate? Why the fuck would I meditate? Who has time to? I had a Ferrari. I got a beautiful wife, 3 kids. I got all this money. People that are broke, sick, high, sitting on their mom's couch all day, they meditate. I got no time for meditation. And why would I do it?" And she said, "Oh, so you could vibrate faster."
This is with a stranger on a plane.
Yeah. I was like, "Vibrate faster?" She goes, "Yeah, everything vibrates. The earth vibrates the slowest. Plants, animals, humans, light, then sound."
Here we go.
And then
start
thought.
Paying attention.
Sound, light, and then thought. And then she asked me a funny question. She's like, "Do you know what thought vibrates the fastest?" And I rolled my eyes again. I'm like, "No." And then she ruined my world. She said, "The truth."
Oh.
"The truth vibrates the fastest. And did you know you can only be aware of that which vibrates at a frequency equal to or less than you?"
That lands. That's
and
amazing.
I can teach you through meditation to elevate the frequency of your mind, body, and soul so you can be more aware, so things can be easy because you'll learn to be aware of what's dis-easy.
Mm. And I've seen you speak about being able to be here. And there's people here, and there's people here,
yeah.
And how you try and bring them here. And sometimes you can't do it.
You can't do it. And that's a pose that I always say, right?
I love that.
Reach up above you and pull people up. And then the weird thing was, she said, "Well, I think you should come and learn theta meditation and quantum healing. I would host you and pay for it. You have so much potential."
So.
And I said, "No."
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you got to hear why.
Okay.
So she's like, "No." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't got time for it." So this is true. So she's like, "Oh, that's too bad, because I could teach you to be aware of when to buy or sell."
So then she tapped
I'm
into
like,
the
"Oh,
sales.
Maybe I will attend."
Yeah, yeah.
And then I called my wife and told her I'm going to a 4-day workshop on theta energy, meditation, and quantum healing. And she's like, "What's her name?" She did not believe me at all. That's how far removed I was from it. And so I went through this for...
What is theta energy? Is this the Joe Dispenza stuff?
Or
is
theta energy is a frequency.
Yep.
And so, and there's so many new products out there. I wear a wave watch, which is frequency. There's high frequency headbands. There's all kinds of cool stuff. I have an eHarmony acoustic vibrational lounge that I utilize so that it makes it easier to elevate your frequency than even just meditation. And so theta meditation is a state of frequency that allows you to download information.
Mm.
And so, you know, for me, I theta meditate before I go to sleep, put my mind, body, and soul in a position to recover and access that information. Then I use theta meditation to transcend the information when I wake up to elevate my awareness to what's interfering with where I want to be.
You and even if you don't feel like doing it, you do it.
Yeah,
right? Even if you're having a bit, yeah.
Well, yeah, you got to learn to love what you don't like or love about what you love.
Mm.
And so
don't pursue
excellence, sue potential.
Yep.
Don't pursue perfection, pursue potential.
Yep.
Learn to be consistent, which is counter to human nature, and persistent, which is counter to human nature, in the pursuit of your potential. Not what other people want for you, what's missing, what you don't have, or what social media shows you. Simply, that word is your potential. That's your highest self. And you can pursue your higher self. Never, perfection is somebody else's idea. It is only for God to know the infinite perfection of the universe. It's so unfathomable. But your potential is something you can pursue with great clarity in a divine direction of where you want to be. And it's also easy to align the meaning of the past with your potential.
Got it.
Instead of limiting your future by giving the wrong meaning to the setbacks, failures, and mistakes of your past.
And you had to forgive yourself, right?
Forgiveness is a huge practice.
You had to do some deep forgiveness in order to be able to kind of step into this new place. And did you give up the sports world? Did you give up the sports entertainment world? Or
no.
Did
you So Warren Moon and I, unfortunately, Lee was an addict, so it was just adding on to the laws of attraction, right? So Lee was a heavy addict. So Warren Moon and I started a global sports marketing company, which we had for 20 years, became one of the biggest sports marketing company. Then I transferred the knowledge and skills and desire into sports media, which then became entrepreneurship
and sports media. Hold on. How did you do all that and become an influencer?
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't like.
Well, I don't believe in influencers.
Well, let's forget about that. Have such a massive presence online.
Yeah. So here's what happened. First, I've always taken inventory of my skills, my knowledge, and my desire and apply it to things. Right? Everything's a backdrop.
Yep.
So I'm looking what's doing well, what's stable, and you think is doing well. And so I was working with Warren Moon, and Jim Leyritz was one of my clients. Yankee.
Yep.
And so Jim's
home
like,
run against the Braves.
Jim's like, you got to meet this guy. He wants to hire you. His name's AJ Vaynerchuk. Can you hook him up at the Super Bowl? I'm like, yeah, tell him I'll get us into the Nike.
Was that Gary Vee?
No, AJ
Vaynerchuk. Oh, okay.
So I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll meet this kid, AJ Vaynerchuk. He wants to start a sports agency, Vayner Sports. I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I meet AJ in the Nike suite and tell him, hey, you can hire me. I know exactly what to do, how to build this sports agency for you. I'd be happy to help. And then everybody gets super excited. This is 11 Super Bowls ago, to give you an idea. 11 Super Bowls ago. So he says, and Jim Leyritz, by the way, and I had a nationally syndicated radio show called The Sports Blender together. And so this is great. Everyone gets excited in the suite, and I'm like, who is it? And Jim said,
thought it was going to be like an entertainer or an athlete.
Oh, of
right?
course.
Yeah.
So Jim says, oh, it's Gary Vee. And I'm like, who does he play for? And AJ Vaynerchuk's looking at me like, are you fucking kidding me? And I wasn't kidding. He could see that.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, bro, who does he play for? He goes, no, that's my brother. I'm like, oh, well, what does he do?
Yeah.
He goes, well, he's an entrepreneur. He had a wine site and. But my brother wanted to meet you. That's why he's here. I'm like, cool. I'll meet Gary. So I sit down with Gary, and he just won't let me help him. No, how can I help you?
Did he impress you initially, though? Like, you didn't know who he was. Someone told you he was some... Like, I'm sure your dynamic of meeting so many personalities.
First of all, he's super charismatic the first time I meet him.
Yeah.
Two, he wouldn't let me help him. He goes, that's not the way it works. You can't keep doing all this for me. What can I do for you? I'm like... I don't know, bro. You can pay me, I guess. I don't know. But this, I want to help you. You guys, and he said, do you have a podcast?
That's like, the first time you
Yeah, heard. I was like, podcast?
Yeah.
Like, why would I have a podcast? I have a nationally syndicated radio show, and there's about 200,000 podcasts. There's so many of those. Why would I do that? He's like, oh. He goes, how about we trade? Well, trade what? Trade time. I'm like, okay. You help me with the sports agency, I'll build your brand. I said, I'm 50 years old, man. What are you going to promote a middle-aged mutant turtle on Instagram? Like, literally, this is how little I knew about Instagram. He gave me 5 minutes a week. I gave him 5 minutes a week. That was the deal.
Wow.
And we were religious about the five
Speed.
Minutes. It could be in person or on the phone.
Yep.
And so you'll see a shitload of content of me and Gary because I just got the 5 minutes, took a picture, did a quick interview.
Yep.
You know my philosophy.
Yeah. Yep.
But this kid, Gary... it was crazy. I got a blue check mark. I didn't know what it even meant. And so I came home for dinner, and my three daughters were teenagers at the time. And they're like, Dad, you're famous. I'm like, yeah, I run Lee Steinberg, like, Sports One Marketing. I have a radio show. And they're like, no, you're verified. I'm like, What are you talking about? On Instagram, you got a blue check. I was like, okay. They're like, Dad, DM me. And my name's David Meltzer. So I looked at all three girls at the pinnacle of their respect for their dad. I've now accomplished something none of them dreamed I could ever accomplish. And my answer was, awesome. Now, all my girls are named Marissa Meltzer, Mia Meltzer, and Marlena Meltzer, M-M-M's. Right? Yeah. So what does asshole say? Awesome. I'll MM you back. Their face sunk so fast. Like, you are a freaking idiot. That's how little I knew about this stuff. But Gary taught me about community, about frequency in the community. I've already been writing books. I was already speaking. So it wasn't as if I didn't have a community.
Yeah.
But he taught me how to capture, modify, amplify, and then I taught him how to perpetuate.
Yeah, and let me just say this for folks on this side. He just talked about community, which you're seeing over on this side. And every city he goes to, he does what these what he calls as these meetups. He just did one in there. So these are people that are in his world. Hey, I'll be in Red Bank, New Jersey, or I'll be in 42nd Street, Manhattan. And he does these public meetups outside and just talks about stuff like this. Answers questions. And he does it for free for people so they don't have to pay exogenous amount of money to get in touch with somebody like him. And for all the folks that don't have his information that are here right now, please make sure you do get a copy of his book, The Whole Nine Yards, and you're all invited to the VIP dinner, if that's okay with you, next door at 6:30.
Let me do this real quick. I give 5 minutes of time to everybody in the world, but you have to call me. I know I say that and people text me and email me anyway. I will give you my actual cell phone number. If you don't believe me,
it's true.
Somebody can call me. It'll ring. This is my cell phone. I will give 5 minutes of time to anyone. It will not be scheduled time. It'll be what I call non-time. So that means you're going to have to call me. And Drew's here, so thank you, Drew. There he is. And I'm also going to teach you how to give someone your phone number, because people, the biggest thing today is get people to call you back. And if they don't hear your number, don't have time to write it down, you're screwed. So here's my cell phone. Area code 858. That's cool. The next three numbers are 688. And the final four numbers are 3294. So it's area code 858. The next three numbers are 688. And the final four numbers are 3294. If you call me, you're not going to bother me. I don't have to answer. I'm smart enough to leave my ringer off when I'm sleeping. Don't worry about it. You're not going to bother me. And if you call me and I don't answer because I'm doing something else, helping somebody else, just leave me a message. Let me know you met me at Rob's gig and what your name is. And on my non-time, which is very inexpensive time, when I land at the airport or I'm bored shitless, I'll start calling people and giving them 5 minutes. And I get super excited, re-energized. And I bring value to the earth instead of scrolling on TikTok. So you're actually saving my life when you have me call you back. Why is that? Because when you are closest to God is when you're able and capable of helping someone else. When you feel your highest self, your Christ-like self, it's when you're able and capable of helping someone else. So if you feel guilty asking for help or getting help from someone, receiving from someone else, remember the gift you're giving them. You're giving them a gift of being able and capable of helping you. You're allowing them to be close to God, to feel their highest self. So please call me, leave me a voice message. That's my number. And if you want my email address, I will send everybody here other books that I have. I'll pay for shipping the books. You'll be invited to everything, not obligated. We do 200 events. Every city I go to, which is 200 a year, I give a minimum of an hour to the public. Meet me on this corner, meet me in this lobby, meet me at this event. I will do whatever I can to be of service. My email's up there. David means beloved. At D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. David@dmeltzer.com. If you don't believe in people speaking into your future, if you don't believe the power of words, why do you think they call it spelling? all you're doing is casting these spells on yourself and other people from what you say, do, think, feel, and believe. Words are super important. My mom named me intentionally David Meltzer. If I had a dollar for every time she said, "You're not living up to your name," I'd be rich.